Now, I have trained my daughters far too well in sarcasm. A while back, I said, now, obviously, they got all their musical ability from me, right? Kelly agreed with me. She said, that's obvious, Dad. You have none left. So you need to talk. Now, yeah, think about this for a second. If they didn't get their musical ability from me, where'd they get it from? Well, should she not be doing more specials then? Amen. We had one just now, right? So, looking at the Christmas season, we're looking at who agrees that our God is a merciful God? I mean, he looks at me, he's got to be a merciful God, right? He desires that every one of us will come to him and be saved. He seeks faithful people to serve him, to bring his word to sinners. He knows those who have faith to be used. In Psalm 33:18, it says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, and upon them that hope in his mercy." His eye is on a sparrow. We know that from Scripture. If his eye is on a sparrow, is it not that much more on us, the crown of his creation, the reason that he created all this? God's greatest blessing was to send his Son so that he could die on the cross for us, right? God becoming the perfect man, to reveal the perfect man to sinful man, that sinful man then come to the perfect man, accept that perfect man's penalty by the shed blood, and become sons of the Most High God. He revealed himself as a perfect man. He revealed himself to show the high cost of that sin. He revealed himself to accept sin's penalty, that I may be adopted, that you may be adopted as a child of the Most High God, taking our sins to give us his righteousness by faith in the finished work on that cross. But for him to go to the cross, for him to come as that perfect man, he had to be born. He had to be born the same way every one of us were born. Mary received the call of faith, and she received that call and gave it the exact same way Isaiah did when Isaiah was called. She said, "Here am I. Send me." Sounds so simple. It wasn't a simple call. She had one of the most difficult calls, jarred into reality in a way that would shock all of us. We read a beautiful story. We look at this beautiful story, and we see all the joy that came from it. But you got to put yourself in place and realize, if you want a call like that, you're going to be jarred the way Mary was. So God found faithful Mary to provide the seed of the woman that was promised in Genesis 3:15. Both she and Joseph were in the line of David, so she could fulfill Scripture. Both she and Joseph were righteous and faithful to God, so they could be used by God. They both would raise Jesus and know that he would be safe under the hand of God. Mary had to be the mother to make Jesus fully man. If Jesus wasn't fully man, he could not take man's penalty. And he had to show us how to live a perfect life. Living that perfect life, he was able to take man's penalty. If he was not born as a man, he couldn't take man's penalty. God hadn't sinned against God. Man had. Therefore, man's sin had to be paid for. God had to be the Father in order to make that man perfect, sinless. He had to avoid the corruption of Adam's sinful line. Therefore, God had to be the Father with Mary being the mother. His eyes are on all men. His eyes found a faithfully espoused couple to bring forth Jesus Christ, made of a woman, that we could be then called the sons of God. Mary had one of the very most important callings of all time, providing the path to allow God to reveal himself to mankind. She was faithful in little, but being faithful in little, God counted that faith as righteousness and blessed her greatly. And by blessing her greatly, blessed all of us greatly. Do you want a great call like Mary? Do you want a call that would change the world, that would change eternity the way Mary did? They need to learn from Mary. Live faithfully where you are right now. With that, let's stand and give honor to his word as we read this call from Mary from Luke chapter 2, verses 26 to 38. So Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 26. I read the wrong one. I do apologize for that. starting in Luke 1, chapter, where are we? Chapter 1, starting in verse 26. I hate when I do that. Didn't we just say I was a perfect pastor not too long ago? Okay, starting in chapter 1, verse 26. I apologize for that. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Dear Heavenly Father, we look at the amazing story of Mary, the faith she had, the righteousness she carried with such a call, Lord, and the confusion in her mind as all this is happening, and the faithfulness of being called the handmaid of the Lord. Let all of us be called servants of the Most High God. Let all of us be living sacrifices to be used as you would, to see eternity changed for your glory through us by our faith. And Lord, it's only by our faith that we can do it, because we are unable to accomplish the great calls you have for us, as Mary was unable and realized it. Let us have the humility, Lord, that you will work through us the way you see fit. And let us have the wisdom to follow whatever you call us to do. And let us be found faithful, Lord, that you can use us. That when Jesus Christ returns to the earth, he will find faith because it will be with us. And Lord, let us learn from Mary how to look at great and important calls and how to prepare ourselves for them. We ask it all in your precious Son's dear name. Amen. All right, go ahead and take your seats. Thank you. Now, we read this story quite often at Christmas time. We marvel at her faith. But we need to fully understand what is happening to Mary at this time. Now, I have three daughters here. You saw some of the grandkids here, right? Well, three. Three daughters who are married is what I meant to say. Now, four daughters, three are getting married. I was looking at the at what they were preparing for marriage and getting closer. Now, as they were getting ready for there, I guarantee they were talking about the differences between Calvinism and Arminianism. What is the different way we need to support God? How do we need to read the Bible more? How do we expand our faith? I'm sure that all three of the ones that are married were talking about things like that, right? No? No, they were looking forward to their future life. They were looking forward to what God would have for them. They were looking forward to the ceremony, the dress, all those things. They were looking forward to just what was right in front of them because God had blessed them so greatly, right? So that was Mary. Mary's the same thing. She's probably a 14 or 15-year-old girl. Now, she's definitely young. They got married a lot younger then. So she's a 14 or 15-year-old girl, poor, not noticed by anybody, walking along one day, and as she's walking along, just thinking about the ceremony, her future life. Where would they live? What would they do? All of a sudden, here comes Angel Gabriel, and known as an angel. No, angels can't hide themselves, men. He didn't. He came as the Angel Gabriel and said, Hail, thou that art favored of God. How would you react? Yeah, I would be shocked. I'd be sitting there going, Whoa. They're jarred into reality. Now, Mary knew that this was the time the Messiah was going to be born. She was a faithful woman. She knew that a virgin would have to bring forth Jesus. And she knew it would be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. so far from her that she didn't even consider it. She is not the daughter of a king. She does not live in a palace. She is not a spouse to a high priest. How could she possibly be considered to bring forth the eternal King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Now, it's something that would be the farthest from her mind possible. Just let me live my life. I will be faithful to God. When he returns, I will be one of his, and I will serve him all my life. That would be her thought, and it wouldn't go beyond that. She would never consider the fact that she would bring forth Jesus Christ. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords chose a woman who had no worldly reason to bring him forth. Again, not a queen, not a spouse to a high priest, not living in Jerusalem, but a very poor girl, living in a town that was almost as much Gentile as it was Jewish because it was on the border. Now, as she's walking along, this angel appears. What's her first thought probably? Is he here to rebuke me? Now, what manner of greeting was this? Is he here to rebuke me? I don't know. Why do you think that angel said, "Fear not," so quickly? Trying to put her at ease. Now, God knows the way we think. That's not a good thing, necessarily. God knows the way we think. God knows how we operate. He made us. So he wants to put us, when he shows up like that, at ease as quick as possible. So, fear not. Now she's thinking, why me? Well, you are blessed and highly favored. Just as Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, her faith found grace and much favor. Now, many of the Bible's heroes, when we look at them, were not really the people you would expect to see as heroes. We look at them backwards and marvel at the great things they did. But you look at Mary. You look at Noah. You look at Abraham. You look at David. You look at Hannah. You look at Elizabeth that we mentioned. These were not people at the time that you would consider to be the top of the food chain. God made them that way because of their faith. And we see the results. We see the fruits of their lives. So, they trusted God, were taught by God, were led by God, learned God's call, and produced God's fruit by God's power. Mary did so and brought forth Jesus Christ. If you want to be used in God's great eternal plan, you must live as Mary and the other saints did. You must walk faithfully where you are. You must do the thing God calls you where you are. And then, when the call comes, you must accept that call, not understanding it. I guarantee you, we see it in the wording. Mary didn't understand this call. When the angel left, she didn't understand the call fully. I guarantee it. But she was willing to be used however God said, because that God was capable of doing it. So, if we want a great call, we have to do three things. When we receive it, we need to be concerned, we need to be questioning, and then we need to be confident. So, concerned. So, right now, let's say that tomorrow morning you wake up, you got the laundry to do, you got the bills to pay, you got to go to work, you got to live your mundane life, right? All of us do the same thing. Mary loves preparing meals. She always has it all planned out, right? Always thinking, what do I need to do today? How do I get through the day? How do I make it all the way to tomorrow? And as you're living this mundane life, just minute by minute, the angel Gabriel shows up and say, "Hi, thou art highly favored." How would you react? That would be a jarring experience, would it not? No? Well, I'm going to have to put my laundry away for a second because I don't know what's going on right here. So, I would say troubled would be an understatement at that point. Think of you're a woman on Monday morning that is living there. I got my house clothes on, my hair's a mess, the laundry is half done, and here's Angel Gabriel staring right at me. Maybe a little bit troubled? What do you think? So at this call, jarred from whatever you're doing, you're wondering what's next. You're pulled straight in the presence of God. Your proper thought: I'm not ready. I'm not worthy. I don't know why you're here. There are so many that are so more worthy than I am. That would be your proper thought. Isaiah's reaction in Isaiah 6:5 shows this. Remember, "Hear my send me." When he saw the throne of God, he said, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Why was Isaiah chosen for the great call he had? He was chosen because he realized he was not worthy of that call. He realized he fell so far short of what God had planned, and he realized without God's power, it was not going to be done. Now, this was a mature man. This is a man who'd been around for a while. Mary is a 14 to 15-year-old girl. No wonder she would be somewhat concerned at this point. So why was she chosen? She was chosen because she was highly favored. Why was she highly favored? She was righteous, and she was humble. And she was a virgin, as we know for certain, because that's what she said in verse 39. She was highly favored because she was faithful in all things, including sexually. Just as the 144,000 that will proclaim Jesus Christ in the tribulation when they were chosen. Revelation 14:4 says this, "These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lord with us wherever he goest. They were redeemed from among men, bringing the first fruits unto God and to the Lord." Why was she chosen? She was a young, righteous, humble woman. Troubled at the greeting. I'd be troubled too. Now, when I was called to preach, I didn't want this pulpit. Ask Mary. I did not want this pulpit because I did not think I was ready. God kicked my rear end and said, "You're ready, whether you think you are or not." And he's been working on me still. Now, I still don't think I'm fully ready. God knows I'm not fully ready, but I'm trying to follow him as close as I can. And that's what Mary did. She knew she wasn't ready. She knew she wasn't worthy. God said, "I count your faith as righteousness, and I will lead you where you need to go." She wasn't proud. She wasn't expectant. How many people would be out there and say, "Well, obviously God would choose me. Look how I live." That's a person God will never choose. Mary wasn't like that. So, she was concerned, as she should be. Being concerned, you ought to be questioning. You know, why me would be a good way to start. As a young woman unworthy to accomplish such a great call, she obviously had some questions. Conceive? How? You know? But the first thing, before she did that, before getting to that point, which she obviously had some questions, and they were legitimate questions. First, bring forth a son and name him Jesus. He'll be great, son of the highest, reign over Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. She was a faithful Jew. She knew the Old Testament scriptures. She knew exactly what he was talking about. Turn over back to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7. She would probably have these verses memorized. They were looking forward to the Messiah. Everyone knew from Daniel that the 70 weeks of Daniel that the Messiah was about to come. They were looking forward to it. And now she hears these words, and she would know them from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." I'm a 14-year-old girl. I live in the middle of nowhere. I don't have any money at all. What are you doing choosing me? No, that would be Mary's idea. She knows she's not worthy. She knows there's nothing in her worldly that can make this happen. But all the thoughts around her head, think of it. Have you seen where I live? Have you seen my bank account? Have you seen my neighbors? Do you have the wrong girl? You must. Go over there. You're in the wrong place. This isn't Jerusalem. I don't live in a palace. I go to the temple every now and then, but I don't belong there. I may be David's daughter, but I'm probably the least royal and poorest of all of David's offspring. Now, Joseph is a very good man. Joseph is also a son of David. I understand that. He's no richer than I am. Why are you choosing me? You know, I would think that would be going through her mind. Again, this is a 14 to 15-year-old girl. This is not someone who's been around for a long time. And now, looking forward, Mary didn't have a doctorate in biology. She wasn't one that would go to college, things like that. But as a espoused woman, she kind of knows how biological functions work. She asks a very logical question. She doesn't show a lack of faith with this question, not at all. She's asking that I already know that I'm not a princess or anything like that, and now you're saying I'm going to conceive. I don't know a man. How am I going to conceive? No? Those of you who study biology, would that be a logical question to ask at this point? So, it's a godly question if it is asked in faith. Now turn to James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. We see that. You got a call like this. Trust me, you're not going to understand it. Mary didn't understand it. She asked a question, and it's a godly question. James chapter 1, starting at verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. She was not double-minded. She was trying to learn how to move forward with a spiritual call that was beyond her comprehension, beyond her understanding, beyond her ability to figure out how it was going to happen. She was asking God to make her call possible because she was faithful that God was able to do it. It was different for Zacharias when Gabriel announced the birth of John the Baptist. His response was similar, but not in tone. His response showed the impossibility of the situation, just like Mary's call showed the impossibility of the situation. But his response was mocking, a lack of faith. Luke 1:18 says this, "And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years." Had it been asking faith, he would not have got the response he got, but it wasn't. He was mocking. He didn't have the faith that it was going to happen. He was not seeking information, and therefore, he was not answered as Mary was. Mary was lovingly answered, showing how to move forward. Zacharias was struck dumb until John the Baptist was born. Now, Zacharias was a faithful man. He was a humble man. He lived righteously, but he showed lack of faith and therefore was rebuked for it this way. So, if you have questions about a call you have, ask them, but ask in faith. Yes, God, you're going to do this. Yes, God, I know the Scriptures. Yes, God, I see it. I have no idea how. Show me the next step. That's what Mary did. That's not what Zacharias did. So, her questions were lovingly answered. She would conceive by the power of the Holy Ghost. That wasn't a fully answered question. She understood that God was going to do it. It was going to be accomplished by God's call, apart from what she's used to in biology with all her relatives. But it was to the point where she knew the power of God, and she knew that God answering in that way could do it. And he further pointed out something he could show to increase her faith. Elizabeth was in her sixth month with John the Baptist well past the time that this was possible. This was the God that created everything we see in 6 days. This was the God that created all we see in 6 days, rested on the seventh. This was the God that is eternal through all the ages. This is the God that has revealed all this through prophecy. And this is the God that has now given me a cousin, Elizabeth, who will bring John the Baptist when it's impossible. I have the faith. Now I have the confidence to move forward. My questions have been answered in faith, and I will do it for God. I guarantee you she didn't understand everything. But she understood enough to take that next step. By taking that next step, God kept leading her in the following steps. So, Elizabeth was a physical example of what's possible. And she knew this, why she was given this, because it was basically Sarah giving forth Isaac. And as Gabriel said, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." I said, you're called, Mary. You accept this call. It will happen. And it will happen by the power of God. You will produce the fruit, but it's God that makes it possible. And Mary accepted that. So she then was confident. She didn't know the answers. If you read all the story about Mary following on, you'll see she pondered a lot of things in her heart. Things are happening she did not understand. But she understood one thing. God was leading her through all this. She understood that this is the Messiah I'm raising. We've done Sunday schools in this before. They're thinking about if you're a mother raising the Son of God. I don't want to drop them. So there were so many things. She didn't understand things, but she was always willing to take that next step. God had been faithful so far. God is going to bring forth him as Jesus, Son of God. Therefore, God will protect him. I just need to be faithful on what God is saying, and she was willing to do that, and so God used her. So once the angel said, "With God nothing is impossible," what did she say? Verse 38, "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." The angel left Mary, who was joyfully obedient. Now, handmaid here is dooley. I understand what dooley is. That's what they call a first-year student in the Air Force Academy. It means slave. It's exactly what she was saying. Handmaid of the Lord, I am the bond slave to God. God's will is my will. Now, does she have some problems here? Let's see. She's going to be an unwed mother. She's going to have to face Joseph and inform them that she's pregnant. She's going to have to inform her parents. Hey, I'm pregnant. Would I be put to death for adultery? That was a stoning offense. Now, Kelly comes up to me and says, Dad, I'm pregnant, but don't worry. I'm a virgin. It's from the Holy Ghost. What do you think the chances of me believing that right away are? I don't think any of us have that much right away. So, it was going to cause her serious issues, serious problems. We see that as we read. I mean, we'll talk about it next week, but she had to go to Egypt. So, with all these difficulties, now, before it was, it's going to be such a wonderful ceremony. I'm going to look forward to the dress. We'll walk down the aisle. Now it's, now what? Her life has just gotten completely changed. But she's willing to do it. She's a handmaid to the Lord. God has said it's going to happen. It's going to happen. God is going to prepare the way. I have no idea how. As like I say, these would be concerns. They'd be legitimate concerns. And she has no idea how it's going to be answered. But God has said it's going to happen. I see the angels got sent to me. I see the scriptures. I understand the scriptures. It's going to happen. And she was willing to go through. So, she's going to leave the details in God's hands. How many of us leave the details in God's hands? Where's my hand? I should. Sometimes I do. And when I do, it's very successful. I'm not always that successful. But she was willing to do that. By willing to do that, God used her in such a great and mighty way. So, Mary was the perfect example of what every single one of us are called to be. And turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It shows what we're supposed to be. You know the verses. We've said them a lot. But it doesn't hurt to go over them again. I got the right chapter this time. So Romans chapter 12, starting verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Is that not exactly what Mary did? Is not exactly what she did when she called herself a handmaid of the Lord? She was willing to prove that which is good and acceptable and have the will of God be done through her. You know, she often pondered the things in her heart that happened that she did not understand. And through her life, she faced very difficult situations. But she stayed focused on God and continued to follow Him in faith. She remembered the great things He did. Now, as she's going through all these difficult times, how many of us would say, God, what have you done? Why have you done this? And we would lose hope, lose faith. She didn't do that. She never did. She continued working forward. She continued to moving. She remembered the great things God had done. She remembered the virgin birth. She remembered the angel Gabriel. We need to do the same things. This is why prayer journals are important. I don't keep one, and it's my fault. I try to remember the things God has done for me. But when we remember the things God done for us in the past, we can then hold on to those and have faith for the things He will do in the future and trust that God's will is still happening in us the way He intends, even if it doesn't feel like it. Trust me, when she's sitting there in the manger, having to put baby Jesus in a bunch of straw, have I failed? I'm doing this with the Son of God. Have I failed? Well, God gave her help. She sent the shepherds and things like that to her. So she kept working in faith, moving forward, willing to do what God called her to do, and God kept encouraging her. You lack faith? Go to God. Ask for wisdom. Ask God to help you, and He'll give you that faith. He'll give you that help. So, you want that great call? You must be a living sacrifice. You must do whatever God calls you, wherever He calls you to do it, without doubt, even if you don't understand, and willing to ask for wisdom to serve God, but with faith that you're asking for wisdom to accomplish your call. Not to doubt your call, to accomplish your call. Again, Mary asked a very, very logical question. I've taken biology. My mother's talked to me about it. I understand how these things work. How am I going to bring forth Jesus Christ if I know not a man? And she got the answer. She was trying to figure out how to accomplish her call. She wasn't doubting. That's a very important thing to understand. Ask questions to understand your call, not to doubt that your call will happen. And you need to do it regardless of the consequences. As Luke 9:24 says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." Mary was willing to lose her life if needed. Jesus Christ was brought forth for our salvation because of it. Are you willing to lose your life if he asks? That's what a living sacrifice is. If he calls you to die for his glory, well, I'm a living sacrifice. A sacrifice has no choice how he's used. I have a whole bunch of sheep out there, okay? And I'm going to use one as a sacrifice. The sheep don't have any say in it. I'm the one that chooses the sheep, right? Every one of us are living sacrifices if we're living the way God says. Every one of us are sheep. Every one of us can be used the way God intends. And if he calls you to do some call, if he calls you to die for his cause, you have no say. You glorify God, knowing you're going to have a better resurrection because you showed the faith. If you're willing to do that, God can use you in a mighty way. If you hide in the corner, no. Yeah, go pick Tom. He's more perfect than I am. He's the sheep you need to be, not me. Well, he'll pick Tom, and you'll lose the blessings that he intended for you. So, understanding all this, understanding the call Mary had, how do we apply it to ourselves? God had to enter Mary so Mary could deliver God to reveal God to sinful man. By her faith, every one of us had the opportunity to be saved. By her faith, Jesus Christ walked and revealed himself among men. By his faith, Jesus rebuked the sin of man. By her faith, Jesus suffered for our sin. And by her faith, Jesus died our death and made it so that our penalty could be paid if we have faith in him. Taking all the wages of sin upon himself, that by our repenting and giving up of the right to our wages and giving to him, he will count that as righteousness and allow us to be called sons of the Most High God. By her faith, Jesus died, was buried, and rose again on the third day, and now sits on the right hand of the Father, waiting for us to serve him and giving us the opportunity to be glorified with him if we suffer with him in this life. As God entered Mary physically to reveal God to man, by faith in the risen Savior, we have the ability to have him enter us spiritually, giving us a new birth, giving us the ability to live with him forevermore, quickened through his finished work on the cross. The Catholic Church worships Mary as the Mother of God. She is not the Mother of God, but she does deserve our respect. She deserves our study. She deserves to have us learn from her. She deserves just as much respect as many other saints in there. She is the mother of Jesus, providing the human nature that Jesus as God could become man and take man's punishment for man's sin and redeem sinful man to a holy God. There's a lot of praise to be given to Mary because that took a great amount of confidence and faith. I tell you right now, a lot of us would not be able to do it. God picked Mary because he knew that Mary would be able to do it. She does not deserve worship, but she deserves praise for her willingness to accomplish a very difficult call. We need to learn how to accomplish that same call by her example. Let us learn from Mary, surprised by a difficult call from God. If you're surprised by a call like that, take advice from a pilot. All of a sudden something happens, it shocks me in the air. Something's happening, it's falling apart. I really don't know what's going on. Step number one, wind the clock. Why do you wind the clock? Because it has nothing to do with problems going on. It gives you time to step back, take a look at the situation, realize what's happening. If you get that difficult call, just slow down a little bit, figure out what's going on, let God lead you. Because if you try to lead yourself, you're going to go the wrong way. With Mary, realize you are unable to accomplish that call. Whatever call it gives you, the more important the call, the less able you are to accomplish it. So you need to pray, ask for wisdom, listen to God's answers, then realize that you can do all things. There's a sentence in there. Through Christ, which strengtheneth you. If he has given you that call, you are able to do it. Mary gave birth to a son without a man. That's an impossible call. and yet it happened, because with God, nothing is impossible. So if He calls you to do something, if you have faith and you follow, it will be accomplished. Have that confidence. God will use you. And with Mary, confidently accomplished that call as a living sacrifice, taking each step as a step of faith, realizing that God in His grace will lead you wherever you need to go. He's not going to show you the end point, but He is going to show you the next step. And you take that next step, He's going to be well pleased with that next step. And He'll keep showing you each step, and you will eventually get there. But He's not going to show it to you right at the beginning. It may increase pride. It may increase your idea that you're accomplishing it. He's going to test you. And He's going to ensure that you are trusting in Him. And when you fall down because you start relying on yourself, you get back up, repent, and follow Him again. Because everyone, I've fallen down many times. The secret is, do you get back up and follow Him in faith? Because He's looking for people who will do exactly that. Mary did all this to give us the opportunity to have Christ enter us spiritually, even as God entered her physically to give us that opportunity. So with that, let's understand what we need to do. Turn your hymnals to hymn number 473 and look at "Where He Leads, I'll Follow." There's two steps here. The first step, where He leads, I'll follow. He became man so we could follow Him to the cross. We could come to the cross, see His shed blood as payment for your sins. If you've done that, then He accepts you as His joint heir. You're adopted as a son or a daughter of God, living forever as His joint heir. But you have to go to the cross. If you go to the cross, there is salvation there. There is hope there. If you don't go to the cross, you have nothing to follow at all. You're trusting in yourself. So, as Richard plays, ask yourself, have I ever done that? Have I ever realized that He had to come through Mary? He had to be born. He had to suffer and die because He had to take my penalty. Without it, I'm still a hell-born sinner. And if you've never accepted that gift, you're a hell-born sinner. As he plays, if that's the case, please come up. I'll have someone show you from the Bible exactly how to do that, how to follow Christ. Because that is the most important thing you can possibly do. I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm a joint heir of Jesus Christ. And I'm a sinner saved by grace. Because there is nothing in me worthy except for the fact He loved me enough to do so. This Christmas season, wouldn't that be a great thing if you've never been saved? Be saved in this Christmas season. Have a new birth the way Christ had a new birth with Mary. With no one coming, ask yourself this. Are you following Him now? Are you looking forward to that call? Are you ready if Angel Gabriel comes and says, I need you to do something? If you're willing to do that, you may just get it. You may just have that call. You may not. That's up to God, but you give God the praise for anything He might do in your life. If you're found faithful, He'll use you more. And you won't be used the way you expect. You'll be used the way He wants you to accomplish His call, and you'll be rewarded for it. But you have to be willing to take that step of faith. Not realizing that I need to do it, but that God needs to do it through me. So, as Richard gets ready to play one more verse, ask yourself, first of all, am I saved? Then, if I'm saved, am I willing to do it? Am I relying on myself? I'm relying on God. I want God to be glorified. If you're willing to do that, He will use you. So, let us go to prayer. Ask yourself that, and then I'll close us. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that You were willing to send Your Son from Your right hand to be born of a woman, not only born of a woman, but born of a poor woman, but faithful, rich in faith, rich in grace, but poor in this world. You were willing to walk as a poor man, willing to walk showing a spiritual kingdom, not a physical kingdom, willing to let your sinful creation put you on the cross for their sins, not yours, and by doing so, able as a perfect man to take my penalty, to take all of our penalties. By your shed blood coming to the cross, all of us can be saved. Once we're saved, Lord, able to take up our own cross and follow you daily, making ourselves living sacrifices for your glory, going wherever you would send us. Lord, give us that faith. Give us that confidence. Give us the ability to make faithful questions, to increase our faith, that you may show us the next step. Taking that next step, Lord, going further for you, realizing that there's nothing on earth that we can do, but it's all you. And giving you all praise, honor, and glory for anything that you call us to do. And Lord, we're just so thankful. We don't understand it, but we're so thankful that you did send your Son to redeem sinful man who was your enemy. And by doing so, Lord, allowing us to be joint heirs of the Most High, joint heirs of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let us remember this in this Christmas celebration, Lord. It's not for the economy. It's not for the presents. It's to realize that you came to walk among men, to reveal yourself to man, to take man's penalty, and to be dead, buried, and raised on the third day, that we may have the same opportunity when we die. And Lord, we look forward to the day when you do return, and we can see you as you are, the glorious, eternal King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We ask all in your precious Son's dear name. Amen.